Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from BEAUT, full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. James Bovard. James Bovard, his writings have been publicly denounced by the chief of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, the Postmaster General, and the chiefs of the U.S. International Trade Commission, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, as well as many congressmen and other malcontents. You know why? Because he writes books, man. Lost Rights, the Destruction of American Liberty, Terrorism and Tyranny, Public Policy Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, James has he lives in Washington. I mean, you know, damn, better him than me. But I just want to, you know, kind of give you an overview of James before we meet him. But I mean, he's been published in like everything. You know, his books have been translated into Spanish, Arabic, Japanese, Korean. He's a contributing editor of The Freeman and The American Conservative and a regular contributor to The Future of Freedom magazine. You know, he has, you know, books, speaking engagements, you know, articles. The Wall Street Journal called Bovard the roving inspector general of the modern state. The New York Times labeled him as an anti-czar. Washington Post columnist George Will called him a one-man truth squad. You know, I mean, wow. He won the Lysander Spooner Award for the best book on liberty in 2003. He received the Thomas Zaz Award for civil liberties work, awarded by the Center for Independent Thought and the Freedom Fund Award from the Firearms Civil Rights Defense Fund of the National Rifle Association. I mean, it's just, you know, James Bovard's got some accolades and some skills. Welcome to the show, James. Good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to hear from my favorite firebrand.
It's, you know, in the last, I tell you what's going on. I want to talk to you about a lot of things in the news because we've been gone for the last week at a Narco Poco in Acapulco, James Berwick's
Oh, that's good.
Thing. And, you know, let's see, you know, who was on the list, you know, to go. Now, Mark Victor, you know, his plane, right?
Mark is good man.
Right at the last minute, his plane was canceled mysteriously. So he couldn't get down there. They got to have a criminal defense attorney down there. You know what I mean? Explain it to us. No, he can go. Cody Wilson, you know, Mr. 3D gun printing guy, dark wallet, Bitcoin kind of secret, and the ghost gunner milling FedEx, you know, UPS saying they're not going to ship it, and it's legal. But, I mean, just, no, they didn't want to play. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mark Forge, a 3D carbon fiber printing, 3D print. Nope, you can't have one. So he puts out a $15,000 bounty. Anybody can get me one, gets $15,000 for the $6,000 printer, problem solved. So, I mean, this is kind of, and he's getting ready to go, and he was told, yeah, I shouldn't probably come. So think about it. Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus worth a gazillion dollars that, you know, renounced his U.S. citizenship. They won't let him back in the country. You have James Berwick, Jeff Berwick, James Corbett. You have Cody Wilson and myself. It's not like if there would be an agent down there, as which agencies didn't go. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, it's a nice time of year to go there.
Yeah, it was. It was still warm, but I mean, you know, I came back to Phoenix. Where's my sweater? It was in, you know, like low 70s or something. I'm going, what the hell? So this is, we enjoyed ourselves. But while we're down there and the news that was going on, there's so many good things and so many bad things. And I knew that if I talked to you, you would kind of give me, you know, a rundown on what's really going on in the world. Would you do that for us, please? I mean, I know you're covering a lot of, you know,
I don't. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what
war,
you know,
what rumors of wars, corruption, rumors of proof of corruption, video of, you know, the neocon 2016 election cycle. You know, how much programming, social and economic engineering, BS, false flag and stuff. You know, here it comes. And a lot of this you've predicted, or a lot of it you chronicled in different administrations of what's happening. And the trend, is it slowing, getting worse? Do we have hope? I mean, help me out.
Well, you know, it's every year it becomes more difficult for me to retain my optimism.
Why do you think? What are you looking for? What do you see?
Well, you know, price of beer keeps going up, and the FDA is getting ready to ban cheap cigars, which is like going for my jugular. So, I mean, there's all these nasty things. You know, it's interesting. I think it was Mencken who had a line that said if a congressman thought that they could get votes for coming out in favor of cannibalism, Congress would do that. And I had that, it's hard not to think of that watching the response to the Israeli Prime Minister's speech yesterday in Congress, because it was so craven. And you kind of wonder how much lower can Congress go. It's almost as if these folks are proud not to have learned anything from all the disastrous U.S. intervention since 2002, 2003. A lot of the same folks who were, you know, cheering George W. for dragging us into war against Iraq are now cheering the Israeli Prime Minister for trying to drag us into war against Iran. And you've got the Saudi government there in the background trying to pull strings to get us dragged into a war against Iran as well. So many rascals, and yet there was this, maybe there's some hope, because something which I like about you is that you always find the optimistic long-term trend, but I'm wondering if it perhaps there'll be a backlash because Congress has groveled so far so often now, but maybe not.
Well, let's talk about Netanyahu's speech. Of course, it's on Freedom's Phoenix, and we had a nice skim over it, and I look, yeah, blah, 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 more of the same. I feel a lot better that I don't feel anything for I don't care. You know, it's like they're talking to somebody when most of the people aren't listening, but I'm not sure, are they just echo chamber? Are they just talking to each other? Are they, you know, when they come in and Netanyahu is like, man, yep, and I own this Congress, literally.
there was a great line that Jon Stewart had on this. I don't know if you saw the outtakes of his show last night, but
Jon Stewart last night on this. Donna is going to get it up before the end of the show. Go ahead.
Yep, he said it was the longest speech that a Jewish guy ever got, as far as response from Congress. So,
well, did you watch it?
Oh God, no. Basically, I said each day I set a quota for my surliness, and I was already too surly by late morning, and it was like, you know, I was working on a couple other stories, and it's not like I've got a good venue to write about this, so it's more just kind of like I was reading about it. I saw some really good comments. American Conservative had some good stuff. Antiwar.com's got good stuff. A lot of commentators, a lot of liberals, Talking Points memos and others, have nailed a lot of the absurdities that Bibi was pushing yesterday. But it's just fascinating to see how utterly craven Congress is. But I guess it's no surprise. I mean, it was the same mindset that they had in 1917 when the British dragged us into the First World War, the same mindset they had in 1919 when they pushed through Prohibition. This is who politicians are, and to have any expectations that they're always all of a sudden going to start being honorable, and that's absurd.
Well, what do you think they're pushing? Just war? Is it an attitude? Is it who rules? Is it banking? What's behind all this? Is it just Israel finally is just, you know, our last chance to go get Iran? And I don't understand what's going on. Help me out, man. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'm not the best person to talk to in this. I haven't followed it closely, but there's just so many different levels. There's so many absurdities here.
Well, we'll discuss some of the most pronounced absurdities when we come back with James Bovar, because, you know, I mean, he's literally in the belly of the beast. Why? I have no idea, but he got a lot of material, so he's going to share that with us and what his next projects are and some of the things he's covering now. James Bovar, when we come back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com, constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government, the real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
If you are successful at what you do, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a business owner, or you have a great career, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Well, are you protecting yourself, your family, and your assets with quality term life insurance? Consider these possible rates. A man age 45, non-tobacco user, could obtain $1 million of coverage for as little as $75 a month. And this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. A man aged 50, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $500,000 of coverage for it.
So how are you?
Oh, I'm not doing bad. Just kind of appalled by so much of the stuff that's going down right now. But, heck, I've been appalled for most of the time in the last 14 years.
I know, so. But it's like, I mean, you think it can only get so bad, and then damn, you know?
It's surprising. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and let's do some notes here. Some of the things that are the most appalling, give me a list here.
Oh, heck. Most of what I've been writing about lately has not been foreign policy. I mean, I'm happy to take some zaps at the Syria nonsense, the ISIS nonsense. It's fun to see the controversy about Hillary Clinton's secrecy, her secret emails, because this is just typical of how the government works. I mean, we don't. All the important stuff is kept behind the curtain, and we're supposed to be satisfied with the dribble of self-serving leaks. So,
one thing like the Petraeus thing, slap on the wrist, fine, and probation, and kind of done, and Snowden death. You know what I mean? So I just,
right.
Yeah, it's just hypocrisy of that. You got anything to say about the Petraeus thing?
Oh, sure. I'm happy to take a few swings of that. I mean,
yeah, we'll just do that. Let's see, we got Hillary emails, which is what you're talking about, State Department stuff or personal crap?
Right, right. Well, I mean, the thing she did is when she was Secretary of State, instead of using the official secure network, she just used her private email, which was hacked at least once by some guy in Romania. And we have no idea what she said. I mean, it goes to the heart of the investigation about Benghazi, which I think is vastly overblown. But I'd be far more interested to see what her comments were at the time the U.S. started bombing the government of Libya. Because this is where her real, devastating impact was.
You know, the one other thing is the Newsweek article by Assange on Eric Schmidt and Google. Did you read that?
No.
I really suggest you read that. Julian Assange talked about a visit from Eric Schmidt in an article.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was a few months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that was like, I'm going, God, man, I mean, kid, how bad does it have to get, you know? All right, here we're coming back. We'll talk about it.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. James Bovard, another independence declaring the individual. It's been keeping us in front. I first met James back in, God, man, it had to be 92, 93. I think it was Lost Rights he gave a presentation here in Phoenix at the Hilton, and it was just packed attendance and lunch and met with some people and cool. And I go, hey, somebody's out there doing this, describing what's going on. And, James, I got to ask you, has it gotten any better since then?
Let's see. Has it gotten better? Well, no. I mean, it's interesting. When Lost Rights came out, a lot of people were very critical because they said I was much too cynical, that I didn't give the government the benefit of the doubt, that I was quoting politicians and FBI directors out of context. But if you look at how things have developed since then, especially after 9/11, government has gone so much further to the dark side. And it's interesting that after 9/11, you would have a president who felt like that he could suspend habeas corpus and also torture people based on his own decree, and Congress went along with that, and much of the American public seems to be okay with the government torturing people as well, which is, again, much worse than I thought it would be. There were a number of times after 9/11 where I thought, okay, the government's gone too far. Now there's going to be a pro-liberty or pro-limited government, at least, backlash. But thus far, I've been disappointed on that.
Yeah, I'm not looking for the solution to be in the halls of Congress. I just
Oh God, no.
You know, like influence. This is we you know, I was talking to the audience about this very point that you'll probably appreciate more than most. As we're down at a Narco Poco, you know, with a lot of the big names of whatever, you know, it's like how many agencies will be there, and you know, the little bugs on all the tables kind of thing, and you just kind of assume that. I mean, you know, whatever. But the I could see the focus from a lot of people. At an anarchist kind of event like this that was talking about expatriate, I mean, just moving, just, you know, what's condition, your circumstance with your family? What's your finances? Well, these are the things, what languages you might want to do, what countries you might want to go. I mean, that kind of thing. It's not fix it. It's just, you know, survive it. And, but the focus was there's a, in 2007, 2008, this Ron Paul Levolution thing just dropped on the map and did all, and they didn't know what to do. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't, the internet and people were communicating and rising up around the world and kind of, oh my God, now they got Bitcoin and lots and hundreds of millions of dollars. And what are they going to do with Rand Paul? And they're all like, Rand who? I mean, you know, they just, they assumed that this buildup, that there was going to be some kind of a political money, fueled, effort to win something, you know, they didn't understand that it is a movement. It's a philosophy. It's a, and it's generation next. It's global. It's not inside their box. I don't think they, them, those that want to have this influence understand what's happening. So the only thing they know how to deal with is fear. So I'm, that's what fear, I've been saying on the show for years. I'm going St. Louis Arch, Golden Gate Bridge, toast. I mean, we got to have a mushroom cloud of something somewhere. I mean, are you thinking that we're going to avoid that? Are they amping up to it? We got some kind of ooh, and we just need to build ourselves up, just not be afraid of whatever comes. What do you think the solution is?
Well, in 15 words or less, folks, well, it's kind of the message that you've been hammering for years, that people need to take their own responsibility for their own lives, for their own safety. In some cases, even for their own food supply, and make sure that they're that they're not passively waiting for some government agent to ride to the rescue, because the thing we've seen in recent years is government isn't able to do that. Some government officials are more far more interested in their own power than they are in public safety, and there have been so many false alarms over the last 14 years. And it's surprising to me that government has any credibility left for almost anything.
Well, we have like the Boston bombing. There's a lot of, no, I'm not really sure that happened. There's Subway 2 bombing in London. Nah, that didn't seem to work out as well. Oh, and then you have Sandy Hook. Well, it doesn't seem like, I mean, and there was a woman that was, one of the, presenters and performers at the event down there. And she got in the movement from a false flag, 50 people got killed, you know, gun thing. You know, and she was kind of progressive liberal, but that was the one issue. It's kind of like they're 9/11 down there. They're going, nah, this was just to disarm us. But it's becoming, because of the internet, it's becoming obvious to a lot of people. And I'm wondering if this effort to kind of get a chokehold on the internet is out of fear, out of necessity, out of survival. I mean, what's going on there? I haven't been really paying attention.
Well, I haven't followed that closely either, but it is almost comical to see some of the arguments that the Obama folks were making to seize control over the internet, and it's appalling to see there's been so little lasting backlash against Edward Snowden's revelations, because Snowden had he had a whole boatload of smoking guns, of just horrendous federal abuses, horrendous intrusions, brazen federal law breaking, and Obama made a few promises, and you know, there were a couple commissions or whatever appointed, and they lathered a bit, and now Congress is marching along. It's just there's such an open contempt for any notion of rule of law or the Bill of Rights at this point. It's, and that is something which has simply encouraged congressmen to push far further and to become even more contemptuous of Americans' rights and liberties.
You know, I tell you what my fear is fear. You know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, kind of thing. And I'm what to do with our resources and what we can do and so on. And we can, you know, like the most recent opportunity available is Phoenix mayor race is coming up this August. So it's time to go get signatures, get on the ballot, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I'm going, and I know some of the guys at the Fusion Center. You know, talked to one of the sergeants that's a liaison to the Fusion Center for the Phoenix Police Department. And his email is at FBI.gov. And I go, seriously? And he goes, we're just one big happy family. So I'm going,
that's a good line.
This is, I see the fear coming. He's going, oh, yeah, terrorism. There was, you know, one of the 9/11 bombers or hijackers, you know, came through here and had a cousin's ex-roommate, something that used to visit Phoenix or something. I mean, you know, there's always some tenuous justification for we get some of that money. And I'm going, as you're sitting there facing off the terrorists in hand-to-hand combat, do they even tell you that there's this big tsunami of economics going to wash over all y'all? You know, there's the people are going to be, nope, doesn't even come up. Okay. That's all I need to know. Either he was not being forthright or they're missing it. Either way, I'm not feeling comfortable. So I'm wondering if I'll run for Phoenix mayor. Now, this is the first time I'm really talking about it. Run for Phoenix mayor and just do no campaigning, nothing, just to put up a bunch of signs to send to a web page that has just solutions. You know, different apps and different things and different ways of communicating. Different. Just look, when it happens, don't be afraid. And the campaign be just big signs of no fear. Just no fear. Because that's what they thrive on. And James Bovard's books are all about the fear. Look what they did. They go, when we come back, we're going to let James help us with that and talk about the fear that's instilled and what results they get and what laws get passed. And I feel something coming. And it's going to be big. And it's going to be because they can. And we just need to be prepared for it. We need to just, you know, steal our minds.
On LRN.FM.
So that's why you can help. When I come back, I'll just throw it to you. So start thinking about, you know, all these things that may happen, what they have done, and what things got passed when they did it. You know what I mean?
You're okay. Are you thinking primarily of laws or policies or what, Ernie?
Well, that's just a manifestation of what they can get you to, you know, believe. You know, I don't see politics or voting as anything other than a side effect of culture. You know, it's just, so they try, and that's why I'm so optimistic, is because they have to spend generations and literally trillions of dollars in propaganda and media and mandatory youth indoctrination government school camps, you know, sure, to get you into a certain mindset to not only allow, but to demand, you know, a lot of these programs and things that they do. And this, you know, the change that we've seen in, you know, since the Levolution kind of thing, just that generation next, there's even some people that are, you know, the leaders in their community. I mean, they're confident, positive thinking individuals that lead by example and inspiration. And then you have some inspiring things going on in a lot of different spaces in tech and space and all that kind of stuff that I don't see. They have to amp it up. There's everybody to know why they need us, and they're going to need a really freaking good reason. And it's just Durka Durka Jihad mushroom cloud and all the stuff they're doing in Ukraine and Russia's kind of. And I look at Putin and how they and China are handling this, and I'm going, I don't know what they see. Is there something they don't know, or are they just going, God, is American, the West that stupid? Or there's something else going on that I kind of get to the point where I don't care. It's just that we just need to put ourselves in a position of not being afraid and just survive whatever is coming rather than running down to the FEMA camp and please can I have a bottle of water.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a frustrating part of the reason I don't spend that much time trying to closely follow foreign policies is because so much of it's so profoundly dishonest. What the government, and it's not just Obama, it goes back decades, at least to World War II. And you find out much later, well, actually, this is what was going on. And actually, you know, the Soviets were doing this. And actually, the U.S. government, were, you know, they were in the Korean War, whacked a lot more civilians than admitted, stuff like that. So it's just, and there are so many bizarre things the Obama folks have done in the Middle East, from Libya, Syria, ISIS, and all this. It's like, what the hell's really going on? Who's pulling the strings? And it's going to be a long time till we find out. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, we're still getting revelations of JFK stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you think back to that JFK the tapes on that. Well, not the tapes, but the Congress passed, maybe the Warren Commission or whatever, had a deal where the information would be suppressed for 75 years. And it's like, what the heck is this? Okay, so your great-grandchildren will be able to learn the truth. And Congress went along with that, and the media accepted that, and the public, you know, didn't raise hell. It took Oliver Stone to get that trimmed back a bit, but it's frustrating to see how much cover-ups the government gets away with.
Well, it's the same thing with Oklahoma City, Waco, 9/11. I mean, you know, we've been through, I mean, just in our adult life, so much of this stuff that I'm just, I can't focus on that, you know, because I just, there's no benefit really. I don't see how we're going to, I just don't see it. So it's, you know, the peace, you know, all the good stuff that we've been experiencing. And we'll talk about that a little bit too, but I know we want to get over some of these issues, ISIS, Hillary's emails, you know, Petraeus, new, and then we can go long if we need to. But we'll go through our list here, and that'll get us into a lot of places. Here we go.
FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yo, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I just don't want to be negative waves, you know, but you need to get a perspective, certainly from inside Washington. That's another thing, James. You're right there. I mean, you can see Washington's monument from your home. I'm just going...
not quite, but...
Well, I mean, well, no, you're pretty close. I mean, you're like in the metro there goes to your house, right?
Well, it's not too far away, but I think you were able to see the Washington Monument from your hotel room when you stayed nearby here in 2008.
You know, and I'm wondering, my first question would be, why? I mean, you have friends, family, you're from there, is just a target-rich environment? What?
Target-rich environment is part of it. Part of it is, you know, I simply haven't gotten off my ass to move away. I have been thinking maybe someplace like Asheville, North Carolina, going back to the mountains. I was raised in the mountains. I've always missed the mountains. I've said I've missed the mountains. I haven't done much to get back there. I'm not that keen on this area. This is not a good place to run into free spirits. Almost everybody I meet is either a government worker or a government contractor or some other way hooked into the government system here. So,
what was it going to take to get you to go to one of these freedom festivals and just chill?
I've gone to some of the freedom festivals.
Pork Fest. Go to Pork Fest.
Yeah, I was at Pork Fest 2005. I was at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum last year, so it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I'm totally secluded here. So,
all right, cool. Well, that's, you know, that'd be awesome just to relax and just chill. Well, let's go ahead and get, you know, into the meat of it here. We got ISIS, you know, blah blah blah. We got Netanyahu and Israel and whatever's going on there. Hillary emails and, you know, the State Department emailed Libya, Benghazi, you know, all the private emails hacked. To Hillary, we talk about that. We got Petraeus's thing. You know, he's like, oh, slap on the wrist, being a general at the top of leaking out debt, and it's okay, don't worry about it. And then, you know, a lot of things. What do you want to start off with? Hillary, ISIS, Libya. What do you want to do?
Well, let's talk about Hillary, because the news came out in the last couple of days about how when she was Secretary of State that she had private, she used a private email service instead of the government email, the official State Department email. And by doing that, two things. First of all, her email was not secure, and it was hacked at least by one guy in Romania. It may have been copied by other governments as well. It may have been, and secondly, it means that she is immune. I mean, it makes it impossible for us to find out what she actually did and what she actually said, because having it as private email, it's not possible to get access to it from the Freedom of Information Act, for instance. And this is a total betrayal. And this is the same, the similar kind of nonsense happened with the Clinton administration. Certainly, George W. has done a lot of this. There was a federal court decision a couple of days ago here in the D.C. area on the EPA just being totally contemptuous of the Freedom of Information Act. And it's there's a flurry after these stories, and people grouse. But it goes to the heart of whether we're going to have any control over the government when the government can simply cover up its almost everything it does.
Well, like, what were they covering up? I mean, you know, Libya, you have a lot of the other State Department emails that were done out, the WikiLeaks thing. You had Assange doing his portrayal of his meeting with Eric Schmidt from Google in Newsweek. And that was months ago, but it really had an impact on me. I had no idea Google, hell, might as well be the State Department, you know? So it's like a revolving door now. I mean, what's your view on these large companies and so on?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Eric Schmidt was on the same high school track team that I was on back in the early 70s. I was not there the same year he was. I think he was a couple years ahead of me. And it was a high school that I did not move to until my senior year. But, I mean, folks, I think he's more prosperous than I am, but I'm not sure. it's interesting with the Hillary stuff because, again, there was so much crap which she did to justify U.S. bombing Libya. And she was so tightly tied in with the dictator in Egypt. And we don't know how many other foreign leaders or foreign governments that she did favors for, because another story that came out last week was that during the time she was Secretary of State, that her Clinton Foundation, she and Bill's personal PR machine, was getting millions of dollars of contributions from foreign governments in violation of federal ethics laws. So at the same time that she's Secretary of State and helping set U.S. policy towards these governments, those governments are kicking in millions of dollars into her personal kitty. I mean, it's so brazenly corrupt, and yet there was a flurry, and we'll see if it sticks. But it's almost like there's a Hillary Clinton scandal of the week at this point.
Well, I'm. Did you see that one country western song, "Stand with Hillary" or something?
No.
No. You got it. In the break, you know, we'll play this. And to break
okay.
You got to go see it. Stand with Hillary song. Are you at a computer?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and do that. Just YouTube Stand with Hillary. You know, you just do that, and then we'll watch it in the break. A couple minutes, a minute into this thing, you'll go, are you freaking kidding me? It was like, country western, we're going to bust that ceiling, the glass ceiling woman. She's a mother, she's a mom, she's a wife, she's a whatever, vote for Hillary. And I'm going, it was so, you got to wonder who they're talking to. You know, who's influenced by this kind of stuff and to what end? You know, so this is the first election. I'm wondering if it was you. Somebody was telling me, they said, you know, this is going to be the first presidential election cycle where we're going to have to refer to the candidates by their first name. You know, Jeb and Hillary. I mean, which Bush? Which Clinton? Which Paul? You know, Jeb, Hillary, and Rand. So when you start seeing, you know, them being referred to by their first names, you can see who the anointed, coronated, who's going to be people. Then you have Rand does well at CPAC, but, you know, the machine, we went through this in 08 and 12 with his father. So what do you think, how is the field going to, you know, lay out? Is there a coronation going on as always, or what?
Well, I think what's happening is there's an attempted coronation, but there's so much dirt from Hillary that's already coming up, and plus so many people have such a visceral dislike of her that she's going to flounder. I mean, she's simply not a likable human being. Jeb Bush, he's going to have the same trouble. There was all kinds of devious dealings he did as governor, and after being governor, so much family dirt, he's going to sink. Scott Walker looks like a nice candidate thus far. We don't know much about him. Rand Paul is great on some issues, but it's sad to see him kowtowing on foreign policy.
Yeah, this is, and that was kind of surprising. A lot of people that were kind of hoping to get support for Rand. I mean, it wasn't thick, you know, a few people, and a lot of them, you know, may have been the agents, you know. But they're just, you know, but what about Rand? What about Rand? What are you guys going to do for Rand? And it was kind of that impression. They're like, what are you going to do for Rand? And I'm going, why, what are you going to do? I mean, are you looking for help for something you're doing, or are you just, you know, being the agent and gathering information about us? I mean, because that's kind of a first sign, because a lot of times people are going, oh, this is what I'm doing, and being inspired, and who can help, and we'll work together. And so, but that wasn't it. It was like a information gathering thing. And what do you see happening with the supporters and the young people that supported his father? Is that looking to come out for Rand or not?
Well, there was, part of the reason that Ron Paul had such great support was he was seen as sincere. He spoke from the heart. He sometimes said things that made people cringe, or he sometimes made mistakes, but people thought of him as an honest politician. Rand just seems to have his finger up in the air a lot more. Rand seems a lot better than the other GOP candidates, but that's not exactly a hearty endorsement.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how this is going to play out and what issues are going to be important. I mean, is it going to be all Benghazi all the time, you know, about, you know, Hillary? Is it going to be Jeb Bush's, you know, money-making deal and family and oil? Is it going to be, you know, are we going to start talking about real policies and, like, stopping the war on terror around the planet of terrorizing everybody? I mean, what are the issues going to be in this 2016 election cycle? Well, we're going to find out. James is going to help us.